Jesus Christ.
When you taking a test, when you know the answer, when you look at the problem, then problem is not problem anymore. Have you ever experienced that? When you have a final test and you look at it, and then you know the answer for the question, and then the test actually for you, it's for fun. Can I hear it? It's not turned it on? Too weak. I'm sorry, because my voice is not that. You know, the life is the same thing. Oh, thank you. The life when... you know the meaning of life, because you can tell why you live. You find out the reason, and you understand the purpose of your life. And then since you know the answer, then your life is great, you know, excitement, because you know the meaning of life. You know what is what you focus on your life. So you're not seeking for something that empty things, something that is meaningful. You know that your life can change. So it is important things that you understand the meaning of life. Why you live? What is your life? Once you define it, which is, this is a test, every day of our life is a testing. From your God, allow us, here's 24 hours in your hands. And then we find out the answer, the meaning of our life. Once you find out the answer, the 24 hour is truly meaningful. You know, time. That's why we can glorify God. That's our life can comforted by God. But if you do not know the answer, then you keep struggling. Everyday life is struggling. So, and also, since you don't know the answer, then you struggle something else. You're trying to find out the answer, but many times answer is not true answer. So it turned out to be nothing. You know, the Solomon, he become a rich himself. At the beginning, he find out the meaning of life. He know what is the focus in his life, you know, in his life. But later on, and he has too many wives. The wife keep pull him away from his focus. But later on, he cannot find out his own life meanings. So he's trying to please himself with something else, with material ways. You know, other things he tried. But end up, he discovered there's a vanity, an emptiness. Now there are many people. When you go outside, look at the people, their life. They're seeking for their pleasure, their own way. And some people want to become a millionaire. But millionaire is not easy to be. You know, out there, a lot of competitions. You know, millionaire is not easy. When I was, before I would go to college, I want to be a millionaire too. But then I learned that a millionaire is not easy. So when I attended college, just before, a little kind of beforehand, so why I choose the business major, I want to be a better wife. Simple it is. And through the most of my life, my father was a minister in Korea. And most of my times, I didn't have my own rooms. Because I stay in the church in the side of one room, my mom and I, my father, we stayed together for many, many years. And when I was middle and high school, what kind of life is that? I don't have my rooms. And then later on, come to United. There's a heart. I believe in God. I'm sure because many of you the same thing. You believe in God. But what is your goal? I want to be better life, you know, better, and you know, I want to drive a good car. I'm sure because many of you drive a sports car. Can you satisfy with when you drive in a few years? So when I have, because I had experience, I drove, it's not a sports car, but a sporty car. But it's not that fast, but, you know, every month we have to pay the payments. Wow, after 6 months, I couldn't enjoy the new car. I better just get rid of new cars. That's you know, I couldn't satisfy the new car. Sometimes I turn on the radio, you know, little higher volumes, but doesn't give me at all. Because every month I have to pay the payments in insurance. You know, if you're a young age, you have to pay insurance, very high insurance. What all you earn the money that you have to pay the insurance and payments and gas. So life is, you know, cannot satisfy. But once you find out the true meaning of your life, car doesn't care. House doesn't care. Anything in this world, it's not that much of, you know, big deal with you. Because you know what is the true meaning of life. So it is an important thing. Why the Apostle Paul has such a high spirit, you know, even though it's such a difficult time, he doesn't care on all the things. Because he knows, and the focus on his life is a meaning within the Jesus Christ. Who's the one who helped him? Who's the one who gave him a true, you know, the living hope? Jesus Christ. You know, maybe because he received a high education under the Gamaliel. At that time, one of the well-known, you know, the scholars, well-known, you know, Pharisees, under him, he learned all the high educations. And also, he's a born Roman, he got the Roman citizenship. At that time, if you have a Roman citizenship, then you can go everywhere, whatever you like to do. And he's born in outside of the Dasa, you know, the place now in the Turkey, right? So he had experience already in the foreign culture and everything. He's a very knowledgeable person. When you look at the Bible in Acts, when you're dealing with all the, you know, those philosophers, he can deal with them. Those, you know, those very knowledgeable person. He can deal with any matter brought up, and he can discuss with them. He's a very knowledgeable person. So he has a great future. But how it's possible that he giving up himself, all these things, because he understood. He found out the meaning of life in Jesus Christ. So he become a new creature himself. When you look at the 2 Corinthians, he understood that. You know, outside of the body deteriorate, but inner new being, new creatures, continue to be renewed. Because of true hope, his life generated the new power and new strength, give him the true comfort and true confidence in his life. So every day, 24 hours, it become a truly meaningful life. Because he know the answer. God give him a test, and God give him problems, he find out the answer. So the problem itself is so much of joy, actually. One time I had an accounting class. they were getting close to the final, what I studied, but it's not much to get it. And then I prayed to God, please help me. This is my major. And then, tests come, and I took the final and I look at it, and at the beginning, wow, it's a major question. It's kind of hard to handle it. Then I pray again, and I just try to solve little by little. And then I find out the way, in a way, what the purpose of these questions. I find that, and then, wow, then I just open it, everything. And then just one by one, just go on. And because I know the answer at that time, it's so excited. It's so excited. Life is the same thing. If you find out the true meaning, life is a meaningful one, and life is worthwhile to live. That's why the Apostle Paul said, rejoice all the time. How is it possible to rejoice all the time? Come on, there's many difficult things happen in your life. Don't you think so? Sometimes you meet the dead rock, you know. You don't know what to do. But once that you experience, that you experience of God, that experience give you the idea, I am with you. Now you can solve your problem through me. God gave us answers. When you look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, why God gave us the Holy Spirit? Sometimes when we encounter problems, it seems like we try to do our best our own way, but there is no answer. But every time when we kneel down in front of God, when we close our eyes, and then we can tell, God is with us. God is within us. You know, that is a confidence. It's not confidence, it came from us. You know, there's two kinds of confidence, we know that. One is from us, because you are very knowledgeable, you're very, you know, high IQ, you have a capable person, in your pocket you have some $1,000 money, then you have a confidence. When you walk outside, you have a confidence. When you drive a nice car, then when you even the long distance drive, you don't feel, you know, bad, you don't feel afraid, because you have a AAA card, everything it is ready, no problems. But when you don't have, you're scared. Do you know God knows us, our own life? So God had to give us, support us, to encourage us. Which way? Give us the Holy Spirit. Give us the Holy Spirit. Every time when we kneel down, when you have problems, why we encourage to pray? Because you kneel down, God is with you. Don't you think so? God is not somewhere else. God is within us. Not only in this chapel, not only in the chapel buildings, but within you and I. God is with us. This is a true confidence. That's why we can overcome any kind of difficulties. That is a true comfort. You know the David? How is it possible that he can deal with dealing with a Goliath? Because he's a warrior? Because he has everything, equipped everything? He learned how to fight him, you know, with the warriors? He's not a warrior. He only picked up the 5 stones and 1 slings. And the other one is a warrior. It's different. How we can deal with this man? Sometimes we encounter this kind of difficulties. How you can, you know, encounter it? How you can deal with it? When you know the answer, then you know how to deal with it. Doesn't matter what you have. Because with something that you have, God can give you the wisdom to penetrate it. 5 stones. 5 stones. David picked up the 5 stones. This is actually nothing. 5 stones, can you kill anybody? The other one is a saw and a spear and everything. How is it possible? But God is possible. Because God is Almighty God. We only think that this is a dead rock. But God is possible for everything. God is our God. God is your God and God is my God. So God gave you the Holy Spirit. God gave me the Holy Spirit because of their reasons. True comforters. So he had mentioned that at chapter 1, two to the later, and he mentioned that from the Lord, from the Jesus Christ, everything is a yes. Anything came from God. Anything came from the Jesus Christ. Then say yes. That's why we say amen. Because God is Almighty God. His will is always be there, then it will be done. That's why it's amen. Yes. God's will is always yes. And also God proved us through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a true comforter, you can say. Apostle Paul, when he has such a difficulties in his ways, what makes him give him a comfort? Think about it, if you are the Apostle Paul, when you look at the whole, you know, book of 2 Corinthians, he preached the gospel to the Corinth. Now these people against him. You know how that feeling, somebody you trust and against you? How beautiful that, you know, bitter feeling at that time. When you read the 2 Corinthians, you can tell the Peter, you know, he's hot. When you go outside the sea, sea has sea is like just a little, when there's no wave, you can tell it's very calm and peace. But under the sea, there's a current. It's just like a river flowing, you know that, right? The same thing when you read the book of 2 Corinthians, try to find out the feeling of Apostle Paul. Why he say this, with what kind of feeling, and what kind of emotions. That helps you to understand the 2 Corinthians much better. So I like to give you a challenge. Life, if you have problems, if you have a struggle with you, maybe you have a something beside, you know, God's way. You put the goal in your life. I want to be a millionaire. One time, because one day when I take the math class, why you took this class? I just raise your hands to the, you know, teacher says, I want to be making money. So I did. I say that. One time I participate, you know, the investment company and trade. And anybody know the Black Monday? It was a long time ago. And then I lost money. And then and also clients' money too. And then I start to struggle at that time. I struggled quite a long time. And then I slowly discover the, you know, better way of God. You know, life, you find out. And this is a great challenge for you. Once you find it, you need to rejoice with Him. I lost my track, but it's okay. Comforter. a true comforter, yeah. When Jacob, he has a faith, a person who has a faith, and he's willing to get all the blessing from God. But his personality is very cunning, we know that. And then he tried to steal, kind of stealing from his brother for the first sonship. And then this is not enough. So the Isaac decided to bless the first son. So he has to steal this one too. So he worked with his mother, and he lied to father Isaac, and he received the blessing from him. Because of that, he ran away, you know, flee from his brother. On the way, it's not he himself to prepare very well. And on the way, running at night, and then when he's sleeping in the battle, God showed up to him. Because God knows his heart. Way the method he used to stealing the blessing is wrong. But God knows his heart. That's why God chose him instead of his brothers. So God want to bless him. God want to comfort him. And the Jacobs, at that time, with the empty hand, there's nothing. But God showed up and blessed him. I'll be with you. I will bring you back later on. Now I will fulfill my will through you. God comfort him. He is empty-handed, but God is with him. He knew that. So when he went to his uncle's place, Haran's, for 20 years. We know the 20 years under his uncle. What is uncle's name? Raven? Oh, Raven. Oh, Raven. Huh? Laban. That's a problem, sir. And 20 years. His uncle changed, which is lying him 10 times, but still he hold it. Doesn't matter. But God blessed him. Continue God blessed him because God is not uncle's God. God is Jacob's God. So God continue helping him, behind him, support him. After 20 years, now you're enough to cultivate yourself. Now come back to the land of Canaan. Indeed, he come back. Comforters, true comforters. Even when he came near to the land of Canaan, he knows his brother, Esau. Nobody knows. Still, maybe he revenge, you know, way to revenge him. So he holding God. And God comfort him too at that time. Before he crossed over the Jabbok River, he wrestled with the man of God. Man of God is God himself. I need your blessing. I need my security. Bless. Help me. So God blessed him. You know the meaning of God changed his name from Jacob to what? Israel. What's the meaning of Israel? Anybody know? Which means you're a winner. simply say, it's a winner. You wrestle with the man of God, you win. Which is that one? Israel. It's a man of victory. It is a man of victory. Which means, you know, you now you come back as a man of winners. Now you can go cross over the Jabbok rivers. You become a winner. Because the comforter is with him. You know, the Apostle Paul, also his life is the same thing. I'm sure because if we have this confidence, we can preach the gospel. Our treasure church member include me. One of the weaknesses, preaching the gospel is one of the weaknesses. When I attend several the college campus fellowship, it's not a purpose for the preaching. It's like get a few people there, you know, just share the one chapter and pray amen, and then for the next week coming back. So it's not a purpose to preaching the gospel, but I kind of encourage you, if you have a same spirit like Apostle Paul, then your campus fellowship will be very different nature. So campus fellowship is the one that you can share your experience of God and your experience of confidence. Well, who is confidence? How much give you the confidence in your life? That's a different, make a different spirit, you know, change your life. Let's go back to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8-11. Chapter 1 from verse 8 to 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were a burden excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Verse 11. You also joining in helping us through your prayer, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayer of many. And he had explained that, let them understand, I had this kind of suffering through my ministry. I even close to the death. See that how serious that suffering, even if I feel, he feels like even sentenced to death. That's what he explained. Why do you think he explained this kind of, you know, this word put in here to explain the member in Corinth? You know, that we understand that the church in Corinth had a lot of problems, especially their pride, and they have divisions. They have I am better than you, which is kind of all the kind of problems. And they allowed all the serious sin within the church, and also they partake like you know, the idol offered, you know, the things. So there's a kind of church's chaos, and also churches not much of love within now at that time. So he explained this: I have this much of suffering. Why? Because of you. Because of this gospel. So I let you know. Why you have a problem in the church? Why you think that you're better than the other ones? Your purpose, my purpose, is not for purpose to who is the better, but we purpose for the Lord, his glory. So you kind of explain here. And also, I need your support. My ministry, it's not my own, but with us. So you have to one accord. So pray for me. So please, you know, participate in my ministry. And so give me the strength, give me the power, so that I can finish my journey of this ministry. Let's look at the verse 11. You also joining in helping us through your prayer, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayer of many. He's saying that I have a lot of gift. I have a lot of, you don't have to pray. But he's a really humble person. He can carry on his ministry when the member can pray for him. So make it possible his ministry to be successful. So here mentioned about the intercessory prayer. So I just, you and I, we have to understand. So when I, such kind of me too, but when you pray for me, then I can make this ministry make it successful. You know, many times we remember we just complain, you know, about the minister sometimes. This minister is so, that minister something, and that minister something. You know, say something, we doing that. Because of human nature, we like to criticize other people. You know, this is a fun part in our life anyway. I put somebody on the you know, and then you chopped it out, you know, that makes it fun. So that's a human nature, indeed. But what is the benefit for that? If you pray for me, if you can tell I have some weakness, you know, my gift is not enough. Maybe some minister's gift is not enough. Before we criticize them, we have to truly pray for them. Bless God. Give them a more power. Give them a more gift. So they let the chosen man to preach the gospel and let the man to carry on the work of God successfully. This is how we can participate in the ministry. This is how we can become a one body of Christ. This is how a one church, you know, true church can be. This is I think here, that's how I feel out of this passage. So I need your prayer too. All the ministers, all the church board members, all the council meetings, they need your prayers. So when you go to your church, you can bring up the many problems, you know, the council and the board member, there's some mistake, sometimes their own weakness, and you know, they're doing this bad job, and they're doing that bad job. So we can say easily, but before we can say, with a true heart, true love, we can pray for them. Bless God, give them strength, give them wisdom, and give them power, so they can handle all the church work successfully for the glory of God. When we pray, anything small things when you pray, and the church ministry, you know, you can find out, you know, successfully have done something that you can rejoice. Why? Because you prayed. Because you become a part of them. But if you don't pray, what my life is very, you know, there's some difference. So that's why we call the brothers and sisters. And the church in Corinth, that was the problems. They cannot be one body. They cannot be one mind. So that was the problem there. Before we go on, I'd like to share with you about the suffering. In our generation, I think suffering is sometimes a little bit foreign word, we can say, you know. We come to the United States, life is everything is very comfortable. You know, we don't have that much need, anything need in our life. So we think about suffering kind of, you know, difficulties is very hard to understand. Because our parents, they work very hard to provide for us our life, very comfortable life. But some days, when we encounter difficulties, that it's good to learn. Yeah. When the people, they seeking for money or seeking for something else, but they happen to have a terminal disease or anything happen in their life, and they learn that, this is life. Then they learn that, this is not everything. And then they change the direction of their life. So suffering gives us actually great benefit in our life. When you go through the difficulties, it makes your life very ripened, your life. Because your understanding is deeper. Your viewpoint is wider. So this is we can say, the benefit. When I was in L.A., my mother, my parents was here at that time. My mom having known one considers old man, but he was a very rich man. He has many property. You know, so his life is every day. What he's doing is, you know, maintenance maintaining the old apartment building, to fix, you know, to cleaning and this kind of things. In this apartment cold, and he just go fix because he want to save the money. Rich man, but still he want to save money. So he just doing all this work every day. And he said, "Oh, my life is so busy. I don't know why so busy." And one day he died. One day he died. Rich man, every day so busy, but one day he died. My mom came to me. This man was every day busy, but he died. He has many properties, but he died. That's a life. When you become a rich, do you think as a rich help, you know, a lot of money gives you a lot of, you know, satisfactions? Actually not. Solomon clearly testify us, money cannot give us true satisfactions. If you're seeking for money now, maybe part of your life to, you know, rely on God, part of your life you want to be, it doesn't mean that I want to be a poor man. You know, don't misunderstand, okay? Because I don't mean that you go, you know, go your way to work hard to be in a better position, a better job, and a better life. You're doing that. It is important things. You know, everybody here, all the here, 140 people here, to become a full-time minister, True Jesus Church cannot support you. First of all, okay? So it's okay. You don't have to be full-time minister. What I'm saying here, inner yourself the motivations. Whatever you do, doesn't matter. You become a banker, you become a businessman, you become an engineer, it doesn't matter. You go in the government office, it doesn't matter. You go there, you work for what? Is it work for you? Only for selfish way? For your life? Only go for your, you know, your family only? Then it's a problem. There is no comfort then. When you have encountered some problems, who is a comforter? Because your goal is not with God. Who can help you? Who can support you? But if your goal is for the Lord, you know, you work for your own business field. You are the you know, the owner of the business. You are the one, you know, you're the engineer, you know, top engineer, senior engineers. You're the government job. You're doing something. But your goal is for the Lord. Whatever you do, this is God's work. Don't think that that's somebody else's work, okay? Don't think that this is like not God's work. Not only that here the minister is the, you know, God's work. You are also God's work. If your heart, your motivations, so you put your mind into something, become a musician, whatever, is there for the glorified God, then this is God's work. Anything encounter any problems, then you can come back to God. Please comfort me. While I'm doing this for you, we can say that by then. We have a right to ask for comfort from the Lord. Yeah. So here what I'm saying is, I just, you know, we should not to misunderstand. That's why I just clarify this one first. You know, in the Bible, the Joseph is not a full-time minister. Remember, Joseph is not a full-time minister. Joseph is a prime minister in Egypt. You know, we remember. Daniel is not a full-time minister. You know that, right? He also prime minister too. And we know many people. You know, Nehemiah is not a full-time minister. He's a cupbearer for the kings. But their heart is with God. That's all, whatever they do, it's not for them, it's for God. You know the Joseph? He's a prime minister. But he helping the Egyptians. He helping the kingdom of Egypt. But who is glorified? Can you see that? God is glorified. So what? He's working is preaching the gospel, actually, preaching the God himself. Let the God to glorify God. Let the God glorify it. You know that when he find out, he interpret the dreams of Pharaohs. From then on, God himself will come out. You know, King the Pharaoh, he understood, wow, this man is God. God is with him. He knew that. People, you know, respect him. This man is God with him. You know, look at the Daniel too. God is with him. So whatever he do, we find out, this man is God with him. and they glorify God. Even the king. You know, Daniel was in the lion's den. Lion couldn't do anything because God, you know, put the mouth of the lions. And then later on find out, God is with him. Glorify God. Even the foreign kings, glorify God. This is a Christian's life. It's not a full-time, you know, full-time minister's life. But Christian's life we're talking about here. Then there's a comforter with us and help us our life. But if we become selfish, just nobody can help us. Life turned out to be empty. Solomon's, I mentioned in the beginning, empty life. Because God is now with him. Because he knows his selfish way to enjoy his life, satisfied through his own way. But later on, he defined, there's nobody. So the life in his heart is emptied. Sometimes we cannot find out this kind of attitude. Do you remember the young man came to Jesus Christ? I'm kind of afraid because I'm keep giving from the topic, but the young man, you know, the young man that came to Jesus Christ, asked for the eternal life. How can I obtain the eternal life? He said, he mentioned that, right? This young man said, think about it. He just already deviated from the God's purpose of life. He kept all the Ten Commandments. But one thing is missing. God is not with him. Something beside God is bigger than God. So there's his life turned out very empty life and turned out. He cannot follow Jesus Christ because of that. He tried to keep the Ten Commandments, but end up he couldn't follow Jesus Christ. We all the young folks, you know, we friends here together. Is that truly the God is your Lord? God is your God. That you're willing to put your life to God truly. You know, dedicate your life. You know, whatever you do, it's okay. God give you each different assignment, a different, you know, gift. Whatever your field, you just dedicate yourself for the glory of God. And then your life can change that. Because you know what is God in your life. If you don't have this one, sometimes God allow you to difficulties in your life. So let you define, oh, my life is not like this. When you have some kind of illness you encounter, sometimes when you find out job, but job not easily be find out, easily be found, then you can have difficulties. Why? Then we go back to ourselves. And then we find out. When you're in the house has the roofing problems, during the day, you know, during the dry days, you cannot find out where is the problems. Is it true? When don't you think so? There's no rain, then you don't know where is the problem. So when a tire, you know, when you have a tire, the auto mechanic cannot find out where is the hole. They put the water on the tire, so they find out, you know, coming out, releasing the air. Same thing the roofing is saying. So when we have when we think we believe in God, you know, we know, wow, we honor God all the time, but there's some difficulty, some challenge, when we encounter, then we find out what is the problems, and then we change our view. So we need a difficulty sometimes. So we're willing to take it, because God led this way to find out what is our weakness, what is the problem. So let God to fix the problems, and this is so the benefit of the difficulties, you know, kind of suffering, actually a lot to us. And the thing is, we understand what the purpose of this difficulties. So what the James says. Consider all joy when you encounter any trial, various trial. What comes to consider is all joy. Because through the trial, because you find out your problem so that you can fix it, so you can make yourself to complete it, which is perfect. Let's look at the book of James. So we don't have to finish the 2 Corinthians, but anyway. Book of James chapter 1. Because you are young, so you have plenty of time to study book of 2 Corinthians anyway. Anyway, we'll go back to 2 Corinthians. Book of James chapter 1, from verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, this is the purpose. When we encounter trouble and difficulties, why consider it all joy? Because you can understand, you can find out your own weakness, your own problem through this kind of difficulties. So you can patch up, you can fixing up yourself. So you can make it complete. You say, verse 4 says, let endurance have its perfect result. Make you complete it. This is the reason. Maybe because you and I have some problem. You know the roofing, we have our own roofing, but there's some hole. We can, during the good times, we cannot find it. But in bad time, you and I, we find out. Oh, this is my weakness. This is my problem. Let us fix it. Sometimes we have us taking the word and taking the God together. But then when a difficult time comes, wow, world is nothing. Let's take it. God himself. Something like when God put us in, God put us in the city, then it seems like money is the best. But God take us to in the wilderness. And then while holding the money, I realize money is nothing in the wilderness. I need a water. So water is much better than money. So you know, all the precious stone is nothing in the wilderness. Then I realize what is the most precious things. This is how we can discover the things. So this is a testing, and this is a purpose of trial, we can say. When the Apostle Paul, through his ministry, and even he find out, he learned that sometimes he cannot help himself. Even the sentence to death. Now I'm dying now. I cannot rely on anything at that time. But end up find out God is with him. And let him to rely on God only. So this is the purpose. Let's look at the, go back to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. In verse 9, he confessed. And sometimes such a difficulties in my life. And then I cannot help myself. And then at that moment I discover that we should not trust in ourselves. Oh, the moment I cannot trust myself. He learned it. But in God who raised the dead. Oh, there's a God. I can trust in him. He learned from the difficulties. You know, he's the chosen one. He's the apostle. Why God allow him such difficulties? Why God allow him the persecution in his life? Because of what the reason in here. Because he discovered this one through the inspirations, through the prayers. How precious it is. I mentioned on the prayers some. I think it's all of you here wonder about your spouse and future spouse. Who will be your spouse? You know, maybe handsome boy or just, you know, pretty girls, whatever you can imagine yourself in your mind. You know, I can say pray for that. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. This is a part of ministry. Can you believe that? It is a part of your ministry. Why? Because your husband is very important. Your future husband is very important in your church work. Later on, your wife is very precious, very important for your church work later on. Because you're dedicated. Don't you think so? If you dedicate yourself, I'm not talking about the full-time ministry I mentioned earlier, so please do not misunderstand. whatever you do, whatever we do for the work for God. So your spouse is a lifelong friend. If a lifelong friend have the same goal, same directions, of course you don't know now. God enjoyed this way to, you know, perplex us, to let us, you know, this. But you do not know. But you pray for your future spouse is actually helping the ministry, God's work. Does that make sense? Because it's a future, your God's work. Who become your partner of your church, you know, the holy work. So what a wonderful privilege. Let us to pray for. So here, Apostle Paul says, you can pray for me. You can pray for me. And you become a part of my gift when you pray. So all the this kind of all the difficulties, but I overcome because of you. It's not because of my, because I'm a good, but because of your prayer. Please continue pray for me so to become a part of my gift, you know, my missions. Same things. You can pray for your spouse. You don't have to put the name on it. You can say just empty names because you do not know. It's better. So, is it, you know, empty name, but my future spouse, please, God arrange me the best one so that my holy work make it successful. So my goal and he and her goal to be one, so to glorify God. You know, who is Priscilla, Aquila and Priscilla? How wonderful couple, you know, they are. They become a one mind. So they're pursuing the one goal for the Lord, to glorify God. They are the great helper for the Apostle Paul. Apostle, you know, Paul, he testified. How wonderful is it? We can, with this way, we can glorify God. We can participate, you know, our ministry also. So I encourage you to pray for your spouse. Verse 12 to 14. Did I read this one? Oh, no. For our proud confidence is that the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conduct ourselves in the word, and especially toward you, for we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end. 14. Just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. Now look at the verse 14 mentioned that in the day of our Lord Jesus. What day is talking about here? Second coming of Jesus Christ. Simply we say, Judgment Day. But for us, it's not Judgment Day. But the day of our Lord Jesus. And He's the second coming. Human nature, we like to be proud ourselves. Many reasons we bring out the proud ourselves. You know, because if it's like a pretty, then we continually patching our, you know, face in front of mirror in ourselves or whatever. We're trying to prove ourselves. The man says, keep exercise. Whatever we do, you know. Because pride, there's many reasons. You know, if you're very smart, when somebody's not smart and you're trying to, next to you, they're trying to prove your smartness, you know, to tell you. You know how much your knowledge, then you want to express your knowledge to other people. Human nature, we like to showing up ourselves. That's the human nature. And what is, think about all the other worldly, you know, the pride, such as I am a millionaire, so what, and one day die? Do you think it's worthwhile to pride themselves, pride? Because we have a two, you know, doctor degree, is that the reason to pride ourselves? I'm not an offense to the doctor, okay? But what I'm saying is, their pride, the reason of their pride. Right? Talking about. Any pride, it came from worldly way. This pride cannot be valuable pride on the last day. Is that true? You know, I like to somebody praise my son and daughter. But somebody told me that, wow, your daughter looks like you, then I said, I know, she's a small eyes. I feel sorry. I cannot help anyway, but you know, somebody says, "Why, your son is handsome." So he says, "Yeah, he's much better looking than me. I just express more, you know, myself. Why? I like his day-to-day express." And then instead of praise me, but praise them, is much better. I feel better. Here talking about, you know, the verse 14 say, that we are your reason to be proud as you also are ours. They pride, you know, they pride. They have a pride each other. This pride goes forever. Why he mentioned that in the day of our Lord Jesus means this pride, sharing pride, is truly the meaningful pride, they can see, you know, in the Bible says. It's a meaningful pride. Because the Apostle Paul, somebody prays, you know, somebody prays and the member in Corinth. And they, wow, feels so good. And the other vice versa. Talking. So here mentioned about the pride of each other means love. Based on the love. You know why somebody prays my son and I feel so good? Because I love him. You know, this is just sharing each other pride. This is a wonderful thing. Within the Lord, pride within the Lord. This pride is important pride. So instead of, yeah, just we can go on to tomorrow. Let's pray in silence.